Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers, and you're welcome to call in to ask questions or make comments during the show. This is a live broadcast, and you can ring 877-876-5227 if you are in the U.S. Otherwise, please ring 530-876-3222. I am available for private consultations as a clairvoyant medium, as well as for spiritual and grief counseling and near-death support. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit towardthelight.org. This week, I am very pleased to welcome a guest who actually has got quite a lot in common with me, and we have done a lot of the same kind of work. She is a medium and one who has also had a near-death experience, and she also lost her daughter who crossed over last year, and she does a lot of support for moms and dads who have lost their children. So this is very special, and we are very pleased to welcome this evening Natalie Smith Blakesley. Welcome, Natalie. How are you?
I'm good, Juliet. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's so nice to have you with us this evening. And first, what I would like to do is ask you to tell us, to share with our listening audience a bit about your near-death experience and then what led you into all of this special work. And, of course, we do have a lot in common with our experiences and work. So, if you please, tell us a bit about your near-death experience.
My near-death experience happened when I was 29 years old, and I had a life-threatening illness. And after I came home after a life-threatening illness, I went through another life-threatening illness. I had Hodgkin's disease. So it was one thing right after another, but the near-death experience happened with the first illness. And coming back from that, integrating back into society and talking normally, because as you know, when we speak on the other side, we don't have to use our mouth.
It's all telepathic.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it's a little hard to get used to. Actually, quite difficult.
Oh. And what was the experience like when you were on the other side for you?
I remember first darkness, and I don't really like the darkness at all, and then all of a sudden I seen a pinpoint of light, and I got closer and closer to the light, and an overwhelming feeling of peace and happiness and contentment, like I finally was at home. It was beautiful, just absolutely beautiful.
Well, that's a very similar response too, because I think most of us do regard that as being home, with a capital H. That's really the
exactly.
True sense of home. And experiencing that unconditional love that envelops us. And no matter who I talk to, it seems to be quite universal that these are the prevailing feelings and experiences that we have. And so as a result of that, is that what kind of prompted you to get into work as a clairvoyant and a medium?
I started hearing people from the other side. In fact, I was bombarded with messages that were very hard to slow down. The other side talks so fast on the other side that you have to have them slow down or you have to speed up, kind of like an equalizer.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Good analogy
like,
there.
Down, just like, slow down a minute. I can't catch up. But I tried going back to the work that I had done before my near-death experience. I was a nurse, and I had gone back to nursing, and I just didn't feel like I had found my niche. And I had done some other things, and I just didn't feel comfortable. And it was the same way going back to church, as I was born and raised Catholic and went to a Catholic school. You know, some of the beliefs that, you know, you can still believe in, but some of them, now that you've been to the other side, takes a whole different twist on things.
Oh, absolutely. So was your getting into the psychic world, or let me back up a little bit, having the experiences, the communications with the other side, did that happen after or before your NDE?
Well, I was seeing people from the other side since I was 6 years old, but I never got the audio. So it was like everybody standing there, and I was supposed to try and figure out, you know, what people wanted. But I thought I was normal at 6 years old, that everybody had people visiting with them in their bedrooms. And later I found out that I was not so normal. But I got all the full audio, as well as being able to talk to pets that have passed to the other side also after my near-death experience.
One thing that I would like to say is that, you know, I've been this way all of my life too. I've been communicating with the other side, and I really tend to believe that it is more normal than not, but people are conditioned out of it pretty quickly, you know, starting with childhood. But as children, I think all of us are natural mediums, and in fact, the more research that I have done, as well as having my own experiences, I've really come to see that it is very natural to be mediums and to be psychic, and that it is only as a result of conditioning and all of that sort of thing that people, you know, sort of lock that out of their experiences. And, you know, little children, small children especially, will remember past lives, and they're talking to their invisible friends, whom I regard as totally real. But again, when grown-ups are saying, oh, that's just make-believe, that's nonsense, that's not real, then, you know, children sort of start to shut down all of this and try to be very linear in their thinking. And so it's sort of interesting to think about being normal, because I still would regard that as being normal. And especially with the new kids now, it's going to be interesting to take notes with the children who've been born in the past 20 years or so, how tremendously psychic and aware, heightened sensitivity that they have got. So to me, that's inspiring, and I'm hoping that all parents who are listening to us right now will really start to honor the fact that we are multidimensional, and that if your children are sharing some messages from the other dimensions that are invisible to the physical world, please pay attention to what they're saying, because that is so very important. So Natalie,
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. I'm raising a 5.5-year-old daughter also,
And
she shows a great deal of signs of being able to talk to her older sister that passed. She tells me about people that Carrie is on the other side with that she never even met.
Oh, boy.
I think it all depends on we as parents encouraging that, because if we stifle it, you know, it's not good to be, you know, to stifle that. And not only, you know, we're hindering them spiritually, I think.
I totally agree with you. And I'm always very telepathic with my daughter, who, you know, she's in Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, both in America. And, you know, I rely on that telepathy between us, because there have indeed been times that we haven't been able to communicate via conventional means. And one good example that I've repeatedly shared is during the, quote, 9/11, when there were the attack from the Twin Towers in New York, and she was there. Well, thanks for the telepathy, because I would have been a real hysterical mother, and thinking about losing my daughter wasn't a very happy thought.
No, not at all.
And I can certainly, even though I haven't lost my daughter, for which I'm grateful because she's my only relative on the physical plane now, you have lost your daughter, at least her physical form anyway.
Right.
And that happened last year.
October of 2005, yes.
Wow. And this was to leukemia, correct?
Yeah, Carrie was 27, and she left behind an 8-year-old daughter, so I have a granddaughter. And she left behind a sister. My other daughter is 24. And she left behind her littlest sister, who is 5 and a half, and that's Allie.
Wow. Well, I know that that is a really intense and traumatic experience to go through. And you know, I was looking at the children, the beautiful faces on your website. Healing Hearts Haven, is that correct? HealingHeartsHaven.com. A beautiful site, Natalie. That's a very lovely site. You've done splendid work on that. And you offer grief counseling for moms and dads who have lost children. And I know that it is hard because, you know, a lot of people will say, well, children aren't supposed to die. And I remember when I was a dying child, people said, oh, you're too young to die, or you're too young to have this illness, or what have you. Really, there is no such thing, but it does seem sort of out of place for a child to go before a parent or what have you.
It's very unnatural for a parent to bury a child. It's not according to the course of life. You grow up, you get old, you have children, you get even older, you have grandchildren, your children bury you. You don't bury one of your own children.
Yes, and I know that.
And I think that's the hardest thing for a lot of moms and dads who have lost children, as well as myself, to understand.
And yet the interesting point of that, too, is that the soul in advance decides how long it's going to have a sojourn on this plane. And so when a soul finally does transition away from the physical body and the physical incarnation, it's just tough, because sometimes a soul will incarnate just for a few days and then leave, and it's just so devastating. Yet I think if we can understand more that the soul continues, the consciousness continues, and that's another thing that I would like to ask you about, because I'm sure that you still continue to have communion with your daughter, even though, bless you, you can't give her a hug and share tea with her like I can share tea with my daughter. I know that's really hard, but what are some of the things that you have experienced as a result of your daughter crossing over? And I know this is still very fresh for you.
Yeah, well, about 12 hours after we lost Carrie, understandably so, I couldn't sleep. So I was on the phone with my baby sister, and it was between 12 and 3 a.m. we were talking on the phone. We were disconnected about 15 times in our telephone conversation.
Oh, wow.
And my sister tried even calling me from a landline instead of our cell phones, and even still then, we got disconnected. Before I started doing my TV show, I have musical birds that you have to push a button for them to go off. And they all started going off. I have two of them, and both of them started going off.
Oh,
I see butterflies, pennies. I hear her song at the strangest times. After having lunch with another bereaved mom who lost her son to the same illness that I lost Carrie to. And then she hears a song an hour later that's from her son, and she had just come out of the grocery store. So within 2 hours, both children from the other side let us know that they were okay.
Yes. And I just a moment ago when you were speaking, I saw a flash of lightning, and I just got a really strong sense from that 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 was an acknowledgement also. And we shouldn't underestimate how powerful people are on the other side and what they're doing. And even people on this side, believe it or not, are still able to create physical changes in our environment without even being physically present. And I've had a lot of experiences like that happen. Now, I wanted to bring your attention to a very special book, and in fact, this lady was a guest on my show several weeks back. It's a book called Talking with Angel by Evelyn Eltazar Valerino. And it is a precious, precious book. I just was so moved by reading that book. it brought a lot of things back home to me because, again, I was a dying child and I did die of pneumonia. As a child, I was constantly very deathly ill as a child. And the interesting things children or dying children go through, and this book is actually about a little girl, although we never get an idea of how old the little girl was, and is speaking from the first person of the little girl and the experiences she's going through. And she has a leukemia, and she's in hospital with other kids who've got cancer, and they're all comparing notes, and they've all got different attitudes. And then one of the lads ends up having an NDE, and he, before having the NDE, never believed in an afterlife, but after having the NDE, he shares his experiences with this little girl, which inspires her, and then she ends up crossing over, but the little boy gets to live and actually recovers. Spontaneous resuscitation, or recovery as is oftentimes called when somebody, and that happened with me when I died of cancer in 1976. I had a spontaneous sort of recovery, not total recovery at first, but enough to get out of the hospital and that sort of thing. So,
oh, we do have so much in common.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
And then I was on a deathbed in 89 also, and that's when you had your NDE, correct?
Right.
And I just sort of went out for a brief moment and then came right back in. So, I think this would be really good for parents, this book by Evelyn Elsazar Valerino. It's sort of hard to pronounce her name. She's just an absolute dear, and the book is called Talking with Angel, again about a child with leukemia.
She's sending me her book. We've been communicating back and forth, her and I.
Wonderful. So you did connect. Yes, great.
Yes.
I'm so pleased.
Wonderful,
about that.
Wonderful lady.
And I'll probably have her back too, because this is such important work. Now, as a result of these experiences with your daughter crossing over, and I do feel that she feels like a very vibrant, outgoing, inspired being. I really love the energy that I'm getting from her.
I used to call it feisty.
Yeah. I can see the feistiness.
Oh, yeah.
I can really feel the feistiness with her, and I feel like she's going to be doing a lot of teaching from the other side also.
Oh, she already has. The astronomical leaps and bounds that her daughter has made. Morgan is 8 years old, and Morgan's autistic.
Wow.
And the leaps and bounds that Morgan has made from Carrie helping her when Carrie was here, they said that she would never talk. She's talking full sentences. She's working on a computer, playing SpongeBob SquarePants, and, you know, things that five-year-olds, seven-year-olds do. And the things that she's been learning just from the time since her mother had passed is just unbelievable. So Carrie is still working with her.
I really had a sense that Carrie-Anne would be channeling through her daughter and working through her a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That is tremendous. Now, is that what inspired you to become a more active medium, or how long have you been working as a medium?
I've been working as a medium professionally for about 10 to 12 years.
Ah.
And I even wondered back then if I was doing this work to prepare me for the loss of one of my children. When I was pregnant in 2000 with my five-year-old, I remember getting little bits and pieces of images and things that I was seeing, and I was in a blended family, and we had children from both marriages, previous marriages, and I told them that we were going to lose one of our children, but I didn't know which one it was going to be.
Wow.
So we had a total of 5 children between us, and it was my daughter that we ended up losing.
How did you feel when you were sharing that message?
Scared to death. I was absolutely frightened, and I knew at that time that I could not change anything. there's things that you can change as a medium. You can alert somebody to a traffic ticket, you know, and,
yes.
and tell them to make a different turn or something. But when it comes to people's passing, there's things that can't be changed and things that you're not allowed to try and change.
Exactly.
And even as Carrie's mom, I tried so hard to change what I knew what it was the inevitable. And every time I tried something, it just seemed like somebody was one, two steps ahead of me on the other side, and it was supposed to be the way it was.
Now, did your daughter start saying things after she got sick, you know, like having her own premonitions or...
Oh, yeah.
Wrong words of wisdom to share with Mom?
Oh, yeah. Carrie asked me what it was like to die. And she says, how long do you think it'll take me to die, Mom? And with tears running down my face, I said to her, hun, I says, that's up to you and up to God. I said, I'm sure that you won't be in any pain. And she goes, do you really believe that there's a life after death? I said, I know that there is. She says, and I'll see everybody again? And I said, yes. And she says, I can really look out for everybody. You promise? And I said, yes, you can. And you can let me know through the phone, too, that you got to the other side. And that was the first thing she did.
Bless her. Oh.
When Carrie was about, usually when I call it the walk that they make, people go into the other side. It's within 72 hours, and Carrie started doing something. She was still awake. She had not gone into a coma yet. And she was sitting up in bed, and she was petting what looked to be a dog. I could not see the dog. And I said to her, I said, Carrie, what are you doing? She's, oh, Keisha, you're so pretty. And I said, well, where's Keisha? And she said, silly mom, she's dead. And she went back to petting the dog. That was her favorite dog. The dog was on her bed, and she was petting the dog.
Wow.
And she was communicating with the dog before she passed to the other side, and that's when I realized we had about 72 hours or less before she left.
And that is very typical of people when their time is getting very close to cross over. They will start simultaneously communicating with pets, friends, loved ones, whoever, on the other side, and still very coherently communicating with people on this side.
Oh, yes.
And it's really good to make that distinction, because it's not a hallucination, because when people hallucinate, they behave very differently, and they don't really make much sense either. But when people are having deathbed visions and communications, they actually can toggle back and forth between communicating with them and communicating with people on this side. Like, we're all just sitting in a room together, which we are, and just, you know, addressing one person, then the other, very clearly and very coherently. Now, were you able to see the dog? Were you able to see some of the beings that Carrie Ann was communicating with?
I could feel the dog there.
Mm-hmm.
And when she did leave on that Sunday, October 2nd, I tried to do what I've usually done with people that were going to the other side. I could walk halfway with them to the light and couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
Well, I felt my angels holding me back, because if I went with her halfway, I wouldn't come back.
I honestly understand that.
But I could stand there, and I could look at her taking her last couple of breaths, and I could watch her going into the light. And she had her hair. She was beautiful. And she turned around and smiled at me and waved. And I never said one word to anyone, not even her father. And I went up to and spoke with another medium friend of mine, and he says, I know you want to know that your father met her on the other side, but I have to tell you that her grandmother on her father's side met her first, and then your father was there. Those were the two people in that order that I seen meet her. Now, her father had a dream the same night, and he dreamt of Carrie with short hair, and she was sitting in a room with my father and his mother, and that confirmed three times who she was with on the other side.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. And I'm so pleased that you are sharing this, because I know that there are so many people who are thinking about this kind of thing. And as a medium myself, I get people asking me questions all the time about stuff. And to have these from experiences from three different sources, and they're all exactly the same, that's a very, very powerful statement right there. And I hope people are paying attention to this. This is really tremendous. How long was your daughter ill?
She was diagnosed. We suspected it back in May around 2004. She was actually diagnosed with MDS, myelodysplasia syndrome, September 3rd of 2004. We had about 6 months to work with this and get her a stem cell transplant, but there were several other things that had happened. She had to have surgery and have a pyomyelocyst cyst removed, which is one of those things that, you know, just seemed to happen, you know, where the inevitable ended up happening, and it went into AML, acute myelogenous leukemia.
So she experienced a lot of the bleeding and all of that as well, correct?
She didn't have so much of the bleeding as she had. She had to have red blood cells replaced and platelets.
Yeah.
She seemed to go through a great deal of that. Red blood cells give our body oxygen, yeah, and platelets help us to clot if we were to get cut.
I really feel that she is very vibrant and busy and working in concert with you to help people in a huge, huge way. And I'm sure that's not news to you, but I'm certainly aware of it.
She inspired Healing Heart Haven, because all the pictures that are there are the children that are on the other side with her. And all the moms and dads belong to Healing Heart Haven. And if anybody that's listening would like to belong and you're a bereaved parent, please email me. I'll tell you how to get with the group.
And what is your email address?
NatalieMedium@Adelphia.net.
NatalieMedium@Adelphia.net. Okay. Well, that's good for people to know, and this, of course, would work internationally. Anyone in the world can contact you and become a part of this group. Is that correct?
Definitely.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, do you hold workshops or meetings locally in your area? And I should ask you again where you are. You're somewhere in Pennsylvania, USA.
I'm in Girard, Pennsylvania, which is close to Erie on Lake Erie.
Oh, okay.
So we're kind of situated right in the middle between Buffalo, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh.
Okay. In northern Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Great. All right. So, and do you have a group there that gets together?
I have some bereaved moms that we get together, yes. And I have my own TV show where I do call-ins. People can call in and they can get messages from people that have passed. And I have a live audience, and part of the show is call-in, and part of the show is dedicated to the people that are in the audience so they can hear from family members.
Is that a local show, or can it be seen around the world?
That's a local show right now. I'm working on having it go out further.
And if you'd like, for the sake of audiences listening in your area, feel free to share what television show that is. Yes.
They can go to the website. It's called messagesfromthelighttv.com.
Okay. messagesfromthelighttv.com. I'm really pleased to hear about this. Now, what sort of work are you doing now as a medium? Are you still working as a nurse, or have you just pulled away from that and into this more full-time?
I'm doing mediumship and messages full-time.
Good for you. And people can contact you through your website?
Yes, that's loveandlight.com.
Loveandlight.com. Well, that's really wonderful. And you're able to accommodate people anywhere in the world also, I take it.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I do too. We both do telephone work as well as helping people in person. And tell me, have you have you written? I wasn't clear if you had a book or not, but are you doing writing also?
I'm doing writing, and hopefully the book will be published next year. It's called Close to You, An Extraordinary Encounter of Love, Healing, and Faith with the Other Side.
Well, that's wonderful. And do keep us posted about that, because I'm sure that people are going to like hearing about that. Feel free to share some other experiences that you've had, and especially, you know, dealing with other children. If you've got some significant experiences that you've had that you'd like to share with us.
Well, shortly after Carrie passed, it was probably about a week later, and I was doing some readings for bereaved moms and dads. I guess it surprised a lot of people that I had gone back so quickly to the work, but what I had found out was, and one of my reasons for going back so quickly, is that my daughter showed up. She was bringing the children through. And she was staying there, and in between intervals of communicating with the parents that had lost their children, their child on the other side, I'm still communicating with my daughter.
That's tremendous. I kind of had a feeling that she's a torchbearer type of person, and that she's...
It's kind of strange, because Carrie was never one for believing in this work, or she didn't have an opinion before she got sick whether there was a life after death. You know, and now she's such a strong force, driving force on the other side, that she can't help, I guess, to not believe that there's life after death through the proof that, you know, with her being there.
Exactly. And that's the thing about us as NDEs, that we, as a result of being on the other side, and some of us more than once, it's no longer a thing of theory. We know from experience. It's a thing of knowing that all of this is real now. And so that's why I feel that I can be effective as a clairvoyant and as a medium, because I have been to the other side, and it's just so clear. In fact, in so many ways, it's clearer than what I experience on the physical plane. And so I just rest with that knowledge, and it just brings me a tremendous peace. And I'm sure that that has helped you too. And indeed, in your work, because you've been to the other side, you're also able to counsel people and encourage people about the other side. And you give them details and all of that as well, I take it. Do you also talk to sick children? Have you done anything like that, reaching out to sick children?
I worked with children when I was a nurse, mentally challenged children. When I was younger, before I got pregnant with Carrie. And I've worked on pediatric units with children, but not getting so involved on, you know, deathbed, you know, as far as a child going to the other side. I took a hospice course, and the first person that I used the hospice course with was my daughter.
Wow.
You know, and it was not planned that way. It was supposed to, you know, I was supposed to be able to help people cross over with the information that I had gained from the other side, with the knowledge of an inspiration that there was life after death, that there was something else when we leave this physical plane here.
It's rather interesting how we will get involved in things really having no idea the bigger meaning behind why we do it. Wow, that's pretty auspicious. But
yes.
I'm sure it did. It really helped you to tie a lot of things together. By doing
I know it helped me with my grief with my daughter, and it still does.
I'm sure it does, and I can, you know, I can feel the grief, and that's certainly understandable. And I'm a widow, so I know what it is to grieve for sure. But I do admit I'm very grateful that my daughter is still with me on this plane, because she's really been a wonderful beacon for me, you know, and I'll cherish that always. And do you do a lot of teaching work now? When you're working with people, do you do lectures, speaking, that sort of thing?
Usually, that's what I do when I start out at a home gathering. I go into people's homes and I give messages to people that have crossed over, but I tell them how this works and why this happens and how it happened that I'm able to hear people from the other side. So validating not only the near-death experience, but the information that we've gained in seeing the other side and going to the other side.
How are they for their receptivity? Are they able to embrace what you share with them?
Yes.
That's good news.
It's very interesting because people, I've heard sighs of relief. You know, like one lady said, then you know what you're talking about. And I said, you know, being there and seeing this, I can tell you what I've seen from my perspective. You know, but there are millions of people all around the world, like you and myself, that have had near-death experiences. And there are common similarities in all of them.
Absolutely. And I feel the more that we're able to share this, I hope this lightning doesn't get too strong around here. I might have another NDE. Goodness me. But when we can share this information and do this work as a medium, you know, it ties it all in together. And I think more and more it is going to become very, very commonplace. And to help eliminate the fear that people have got because, you know, even recently, a woman whose husband crossed over last November, he just came through so strongly out of the blue, and I heard that voice. I said, I know that voice. And then I finally recognized who it was, and I conveyed the information to his wife, and I just felt like, well, this is my work. This is my responsibility. He's using me as a, you know, sort of like a switchboard operator to connect him to his wife and that sort of thing. So I do feel a tremendous sense of responsibility and obligation in this work. And I think, as you said, the fact that we have been to the other side, probably we can provide a lot more details about the other side, about crossing over. Whoa, this lightning is quite tremendous. We're having a beautiful light show here. Thank you, Spirit, for that. When we can describe, because I describe actually what it is to go through the dying process, to actually cross over, and then communicating with people on the other side. And it's very, very natural. And as a medium, do you have people asking you, how do you do this? Do they ask you for lessons or whatever?
They've asked for lessons, yes, but I think it's kind of that they expect me to come with either tarot cards, a Ouija board, or a crystal ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just come with a briefcase and myself and pen and paper because I do automatic writing at the same time. And I'm talking and doing automatic writing and maybe doing some drawings and different things. And I explain to people, you know, there's no trickery in any of this. You know, I'm just hearing what your family members are telling me. Sometimes full sentences, sometimes bits and pieces as you walk into a crowd, you know, with a group of family members and they're talking about different things. But it's like having a three-way conversation. And it's like you and I having a conversation and somebody else coming in. And it's like, well, she said this, and she wants to tell you this, and she wants you to know that. So you're the one relaying it to another party.
It's almost like speaking to somebody who's deaf, and you can hear what the person is saying, but the person with you can't hear what he or she is saying. So
exactly.
It is like conveying something to a deaf person. But I always let people know that it's something that I relax into. You need to be relaxed when you're doing this work. That's what I've always felt about it, that you just really have to open up and relax into it and just allow all of this to flow because, again, it's a lot more natural than somebody might realize. And I've done this so much that I think I will get things that I don't even realize at certain times. Oh, wait a minute, that's coming from so-and-so. And sometimes I really literally audibly hear things. I'll hear people speaking. It's like walking into a crowded room, just like what you were saying, or a get-together, and I'll hear bits and pieces of conversations. Sometimes I can't turn it off, sometimes I can. Do you have that kind of experience a lot?
I think with my children, I have a 24-year-old still here with me and my 5.5-year-old. So I have it like off the hook is kind of like the way that I use the phrase.
Yes.
So if there's somebody that needs to alert me on the other side, if there's something wrong with one of my other children, you know, if there's somebody that needs an urgent message, you know, should I have a day off, you know, and I need to get a hold of a mom who's lost a child or a wife that's lost her husband, you know, I kind of leave it off the hook a little bit, but still can hear the communication. So for me, it's like picking up a telephone receiver.
Yes, that's what I go through too. Now I've got an interesting question I'd like to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, this lightning is intense. Did you perchance have a vision or ask your daughter what she looks like now? In other words, on the other side.
Oh, I had a dream of her.
Okay.
It was about 3 days after she had passed. And she was just there for a split second. She was in all white. And the glow behind her was just like the light that we've seen on the other side. And she looked at me and she smiled. I knew she was okay. And I went to turn and say, look, I found Carrie. When I looked back, Carrie was gone. I spent the rest of my dream trying to find her again. And it wasn't so distressing. I was just happy to know that I had seen her, and that was her way of letting me know that she got there okay, too.
Yes. Now, did she show you in her human form that you recognized or remembered, or did she show you another form?
No, she showed me her long hair. She showed me her physical form. She was absolutely radiant.
Yeah.
When her father dreamt of her, it was during the time, there's a couple of different pictures of Carrie when she had long hair, and that was what I dreamt of her as, but her father dreamt of her in the dream with short hair. And I was always kind of curious, you know, why, and I guess because he had said that she kind of looked good with short hair. He got used to it. So that was the way that he had dreamed about her. He said she looked beautiful.
Do you think it was a way that he most commonly related to her, or you know what I'm saying? Like maybe she was, when she had the short hair, that's when her father most resonated with her, or the way she looked, or what have you. It's kind of interesting how someone will show themselves in different ways to us, and even at different times appear differently.
I pretty much took it as in all forms, whether she had short hair or long hair. It was the way that we wanted to perceive her, the way that maybe we as an individual remember the people that we passed.
Yes, exactly.
Like my father passed, we buried him on his 65th birthday. And I always see my father 38, 45 years old.
I have explained to people, too, that when we do see people from the other side, we will normally see them when they show their human form anyway, you know, in a way, at a time in their physical life when they were very vibrant or happy or thriving or what have you.
Yes.
I remember once seeing, I was just talking to a friend on the telephone, and I said, well, I'm seeing some people. Right now I'm seeing a little girl about age 5, and I started describing her. Well, it turned out that was my friend's niece, and she was happiest when she was 5 years old, because at age 5, she had a near-death experience.
Ah.
And she said, I was with God, Mommy. I was in heaven. And so naturally she was very, very happy. But the child died, actually, when she was 20. And then, conversely, recently I heard the voice again of a friend's late husband. But what was weird is I said, I'm hearing you speaking to me in the voice you had when you were very ill and dying, and not your full self being healthy. And you said, well, this is the voice you recognize because that's when you met me. And I said, well, valid point there. Thank you, friend. You know, so that was interesting because I had met him only after he was dying of cancer, and I had his sort of rough voice. And so that's how he transmitted to me when he was trying to convey a message for his wife from the other side. So that's very interesting, too. I guess they'll grab you in any way you can recognize them.
And their personality, and their demure, the mannerisms, the way they speak, still come through from the other side.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen? This is something that I've done too. I will say to certain people, "What do you look like now?" In other words, not your physical form that we recognize on this plane, but what do you look like now? Have you asked Carrie? You know, of that question, or was it something that even came to mind?
Oh, there's no doubt to me that she's an energy ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she takes the form of herself, whether it's in a dream, you know, the way that we want to see the people that have passed, they can do that from the other side.
That's
but
been
normally,
my experience too.
Normally on the other side, they're like a ball of energy, like an orb.
Exactly. And this is the point that I was getting at, is that when I was on the other side, when I was told that I had to come back, somebody came to me, and I saw him in his spirit form, not a human form. And this is interesting because even though this person was operating on the physical plane, you know, had a physical body, I met this entity on the other side with that spherical, luminous form.
Right.
And then when I met him on the physical plane, I recognized him because of his essence that I saw with that beautiful spirit form. But this is what I have experienced, that we look like on the other side, is that we're sort of spherical or like a comet or a jellyfish, maybe sometimes a little bit elongated on one end, but luminous and mostly spherical, kind of like a jellyfish or comet or something like that. So that's why it is really interesting to compare notes with others who've had friends and loved ones cross over and who are, like myself, are mediums, because I know that the physical form is just a projection they use for the sake of our being able to recognize them.
Well, I think one of the questions that I was asked was, if we're balls of energy or spheres of energy when we pass to the other side, how do we know each other? And my feeling was, we just know, we sense, we feel somebody's energy. Even as mediums, we can feel other people's energy, whether somebody has a good vibration or good energy, and someone that may need to work a little bit, you know, to create some of that good energy in their life. And it's harder for people, I think, to understand that have not been to the other side, that everybody has a different feel of their energy.
Exactly. That's why I use the term essence, because
yep.
Everybody's got a very unique essence. And it is very easily recognizable. I'm an artist too, so I've done drawings of these, and I'm going to be doing more of them, of these spirit forms. Every spirit form is still unique in what it looks like as well as what it feels like. So no two forms are going to be the same. They may be similar in a lot of ways, just like human beings have two arms, two legs, and a head, and a torso, and all of that. Likewise, all of these beings on the other side have got a very unique look about them, as well as their essence being unique. So, no, I don't see that it would be any difficulty recognizing them, even if they do not show themselves to us in the physical form that we knew on this plane. So that's really nice to compare notes with you about this, because even the other day when I went to visit a place and I was describing to my friends an entity that I had seen there who had died on the job, I was at a factory, an old factory that was converted into a number of really unique stores. Interestingly enough, a woman who worked at the front desk walked up to us and she said, "I saw that man too." So here, two of us recognize and we're talking about the same beautiful black man that we had seen walking around this factory who had died on the job. And I saw him over a year ago and even got his name and found out, you know, he told me that he died on the job. And then I found out when I went to the office that indeed a black man had died on the job at the factory. And it was very interesting. So here was another woman that I didn't even know who came up to me, and she said, "Oh, I saw that man too." I could tell that she was really relieved to hear me talking about him, because it validated her own experience.
Exactly.
And this is very, very tremendous work. Well, I can see that we've just got a few minutes left here. Have you got any special events coming up, anything that you would like to share with our listening audience?
Oh, I have the taping for my show next Wednesday, and I will be doing a lecture and open forum group at a campground locally in Meatville, Pennsylvania, October. I have an evening with Natalie Smith Blakesley. And the following 2 days after that will be at a woman's only event where I will be doing some lectures and some readings.
And are you, something I was going to ask you and it just went right out of my head. But are you going to be doing, I was going to ask you if you thought about doing any retreats, having a retreat for bereaved parents.
Actually, we are going to have our first one in October of this year, and the following year we'll probably have one in Lilydale.
In Lilydale, New York.
Yes, Fredonia, New York.
Wonderful. Well, I must have intuited that
there,
because I just kept seeing something about a retreat for bereaved parents, so there we go.
Yes.
And that's going to be in October, kind of in honor of the first anniversary of your daughter's crossing. What will
right.
be the date of that?
October 2nd. Her birthday is this Thursday.
Wow. So it is going to be held on her birthday then?
Well, her birthday is August 17th, and the retreat will be the end of October. She passed October 2nd.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Well, happy birthday to the form that we knew on this plane to her.
Yeah.
I was feeling this fireball, so that's lovely, Leo energy.
The first heaven date.
That is really
first,
something.
First birthday in heaven. I know they'll be celebrating up there with her.
Oh, and I really get a sense that she's in this storm too. It's just, she's such a vibrant being, and I see her, I feel her laughing. She's got a very broad smile. Very happy being, and get out of her way. She's got a lot of work to do, and she wants to listen.
Oh, yes.
Teach your parents well.
Yes.
As the song goes, and there's also another song called Carry On. Carry On, will I ever catch up to you? And it's really beautiful, and I love your spirit, Carrie Ann, and you are so welcome with us, and thank you for helping us with this show this evening. This is really, really tremendous, because I feel a wonderful spirit, and this lightning just started as we were doing this show, and I feel something tremendously auspicious about it. It is so wonderful talking with you, and again, your websites, please repeat them for our listening audience.
Loveandlight.com and messages from the light TV. com.
Okay, and also
Healing Hearts Haven.
Haven.com. Okay, so this is also internet television, correct?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I'm still working on that. The DVDs will be available from the show, and there is a Yahoo group for Healing Heart Havens for bereaved moms and dads, and that's how we chat. But I do an online chat for bereaved moms and dads only that have lost children, and I connect them with their children that have passed to the other side.
Oh, that is so tremendous. It's really such an honor talking with you this evening, and I'm so pleased that you have joined us, and I'm also very pleased that you've hooked up with Evelyn, because I just love her to bits, and she's done tremendous work, and I think it's really going to hit home in so many ways when you read the book, Talking with Angel. And also for my listeners to know, that is, all of these books are on my website, towardsthelight.org. And on the homepage, if you just click on the book icon, it will take you to the books page, and you can see all the lovely books. Very meaningful and very empowering books. Next week, we're going to have PMH Atwater once again as my guest, and we are going to be talking about her book called We Live Forever. So we're going to be continuing this conversation about the fact that indeed we do live forever. Lots and lots of validation through all of this. And again, I would like to invite you to visit my website, towardsthelight.org, and I am also available as a medium and as a clairvoyant for grief and spiritual counseling. And so, of course, is Natalie. So we're always here to help, and we are really committed to helping people and to bring peace of mind and to let you know that indeed life is eternal. Again, healingheartshaven.com. And what was the other one again? You've got a few websites like I do. Repeat it again, Natalie.
Loveandlight.com and messagesfromthelighttv.com.
Okay. Well, what a pleasure it is to have you with us, and I'm sure we'll have you back again. And,
oh, Juliet, it was wonderful. You are a very special person.
Well, you too, my dear, and blessings to you always. Thank you for being with us, and we will join you again next week, my listening audience, and love and blessings to you always, and please do remember that only love prevails. Blessings and light. We will talk to you next week.